Morning again, everyone. Certainly do appreciate all that have taken a part, and I believe most in our assembly have done so, including some of the young people. So we really appreciate that. For those that led us in those things, really appreciate that as well. Did a few things this morning. I neglected to do a few things and getting some things changed. I did change it on the sheet, but I just didn't get it on the PowerPoint, and my mistake. But I appreciate everybody filling in for those that weren't able to be with us. We're talking about, certainly, creation, and, you know, it's an amazing subject to me. Within about a 1,600-year period, and not knowing when Job was written, we certainly have most of the revelation of God, if not all, being written during that period of time. But what's amazing about it is that they didn't have the labs that we have today. They didn't have all the science that we have today, because we've learned much better than these folks. Even though they explain things, it took a long time for us to learn. It's just been in modern times that we've actually been able to, quote unquote, prove some of the things that were written. We're talking now, 3,500 years ago. Now, it's amazing to me that people will look at that and go, well, you know, they just probably lucked out and got it right, right? So we're going to talk about that. What we're going to basically do today is talk about the fact that we've got a choice in life. And I'm going to tell you what the choice is, and I'm going to tell you why people won't make the right one, is because it makes them accountable, and they don't want to be accountable. I can see it all around. I mean, I'm amazed lately reading things that they can hardly wait till finally science can prove there is no God. Science cannot do that. It is impossible. As a matter of fact, if they truly looked at science, it would tend to help prove that there is a God. Both are based on faith. So we've got to believe a couple of things. We've either got to believe that divine or supernatural or some type of intelligence formed everything that we see, made it, put it in order, and actually made everything to work really well so that it works time and time again, year after year. Or we have to believe in, we'll just say, absolutely nothing. That everything came from nothing on its own. Or that matter has been around for an eternity, we'll say. Which, by the way, violates the laws of science. So it's amazing to me that we're the idiots that believe in a divine being, and they're the smart ones who don't. But as we look at it, we're going to look at the testimony strictly from the Bible today. Just Bible testimony. So we're going to go through some scriptures. Genesis 1:1. Moses wrote, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we talked about this, but just look at created. Created. Made it. Put it together. Made it possible for it to exist. He also wrote in Exodus 20, verse 11. Now this is another amazing thing. We all know that there is a Jewish religion out there, still in existence today. We know there is. And that this Jewish religion was based on a fallacy, because this Jewish religion actually set aside a day. And Moses said, let me tell you what that day is going to be. It's going to be the seventh day. So according to that religion that was set up by Moses, he said, we're going to set aside a day. It's going to be called Sabbath. And we're going to do it because God told us to do that. And why God told us to do that was this: for in 6 days the Lord made, according to Exodus 20:11, the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So this whole religion is based on something totally bogus, according to most people. But yet, the seventh day was set aside, just like God had set that aside and rested, or of course, he didn't need to rest like we do, but he completed his work, and he didn't need to do it on that. He was able to complete it in 6 days. Again, Moses would talk about this, and Moses was wanting them to know about this, about keeping these Sabbaths. It is a sign between me, that is God, and the children of Israel in Exodus 31:17. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. He's simply saying, why do we do this? We do it because God did exactly the same thing. We're following a pattern that he set. Now, Moses didn't set this law into place till many years after this creation. But he looked back to it and said that's why God wanted him to do it. Now, let's look at some kings. Let's look at David, for instance. In 1 Chronicles 16, verse 26, we have him in the middle of, I'm going to tell you something. Go back and read some of this. It is most beautiful to read. This is a psalm from David. It's not in the Psalms. It is a psalm from David that he gave to Asaph. And when he gave this song to Asaph, he was praising God for all that he did. He was thanking God for all that he had done. He was thanking him for creation. And in the middle of all this, he wanted them to know that people choose to worship something. Now, what am I talking about? Well, they have their idols. Scientists have their idols. They believe in science. And science is their idol, and they try to base everything on that, even though they take a lot of it out of context. Everyone does. Everyone is going to worship something. Sometimes just other humans. But for all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord, he said, made the heavens. Why did he state that like that? Because prove what an idol had done. An idol had done nothing. Solomon in Proverbs 3:19. Again, when he's talking in chapter 3, we know that he's talking about wisdom herself. He personifies wisdom. And he says that wisdom was with God from forever. But he points out that wisdom was with God in the creation. Isn't that amazing that Solomon did that some 2,900 years ago, let's say. And in the middle of him doing that, he looked around and he had the wisdom and he understood something. He understood that when you look around and everything's functioning as it should, in some of the songs we read and some of the scriptures we read earlier, that the seed still produces after its kind, what are you going to say? Well, you're going to say the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. What if it didn't produce after its kind? What if it just randomly produced something? We would be going, wow, this is chaos. By understanding, he established the heavens. In the eighth chapter of Proverbs 22-31, again talking about wisdom, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his ways, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting. This is wisdom talking. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled. Before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primeval dust of their world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. How did Solomon know that the earth is round? I mean, they argued about that until finally Columbus and others found, as they sailed around, that indeed it is. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, just simple things. Why does the sea have a limit? Because God said it. So that the waters would not transgress his command when he marked out the foundations of the earth. It was God. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Again, personifying wisdom and saying, it took wisdom to do all of this. You can look at it and how it functions perfectly, and how it's tilted just right, and how it rotates perfectly, so that we are just the right distance. All of these things, it just happened by chance. Absolutely not. It took wisdom for those things to work. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, a warning before your death, he said. Remember now, young people, your Creator. When? In the days of your youth. Don't be foolish before the difficult days come and the years draw nigh when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. And I'm going to tell you something. All of us that are getting a little older, we know what this is talking about. We read the rest of this and we totally understand now is the time to remember God. Because if you don't start it out, you may not finish well. Hiram, who was a king of Tyre, he came down when Solomon was getting ready to build a temple. He praised David because he'd been working with David on getting things together. David was able, by God's will, to start making preparation for the temple. And so he had prepared all this, and one of the people he approached for this, because they had some of the building materials, the cedars and some other things, I believe it was. I might be incorrect about that, but they had some of the building materials. And so he came down to Solomon, and he was praising God for this as well as David, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. What did he know? Who made heaven and earth? He understood this. Way back then, some again 2,900 years ago. For he's given King David a wise son, endowed with prudence and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a royal house for himself. This makes a blanket statement. He knows who did it. Hezekiah. Hezekiah's in some serious trouble here, and so are the people. Sennacherib and the Assyrians have come down, and they've surrounded Jerusalem. And he looks out, and he receives something from them, and they are mocking them, and they're saying, we're going to come in, and basically we're going to just rip you folks apart. And there's nothing going to stop it, including your God. He goes up to the temple, he lays that down before God, that letter, and he prays to God. And he prayed and he said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kings of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Why would he say that? God, if you can do this, you can stop these people. I know you can. Praise God for it. He said, you did that. This is easy. Guess what God did? I think you already know. He stopped them. He stopped them in the tracks. He sent an angel and killed, I'll say 170,000 of them. I don't remember how many it was, so I'm doing that off the top of my head. But he killed them, and they left and did not do anything to Jerusalem. Then the psalmist, various psalmists, including David as well as others, Asaph and others. In verse 3, we read some of them. I'm not repeating ones we've already read, except for Genesis 1:1. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Think about this for just a moment. He's saying it didn't really take anything for God to do this. Your fingers. Of course, God is not a human being. Certainly making him as if he is here and simply saying, that was so easy for you. You did it just your fingers. And you think about that for a moment, how true that is. In the 33rd Psalm, 6 through 9, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And I've always thought in this, when we get to the New Testament, that this is a play on things that we can understand from the new, but they couldn't from the old. By the word. Who is the word? Who is Logos in the New Testament? We know who he was, who he is. The heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. All of these things we take for granted. It took thought. It took a method to put it all together and to make it work perfectly year and year, year after year. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. None of us have that capability. None of us can just speak and something be made from nothing. We can toil and labor, and we can speak to others and ask them to help in it, but that's the most we can do. But we find that God just can speak things in existence. He commanded, and it stood fast. Not only did he put it together, but he made it to last. He made it to keep going and keep going and keep going. In the 102nd Psalm, verse 25, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. What is the foundation of the earth? It's the firmament in which it stays. It's gravity and all the things that are necessary to hold it in place. He put all that together. And that's an amazing thing. You take all of that away, we spin out into space. And we would be through. In the 115th Psalm, 15, may you be blessed by the Lord, again, who made heaven and earth. This is repeated over and over again. The 121st Psalm, verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. You notice how they're using this every time. Who made heaven and earth? Why is he saying it that way? I know you can help. Any being that can create all that we look at, it would be a minor thing for him to look down on any one of us and answer a prayer. It is so easy, simple, compared to what he's already done. Why wouldn't we believe that he can do all these things? Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. The 136th Psalm, verses 5 through 9, again, the psalmist talking about wisdom. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. I've got a question for you. Do you know what the psalmist is doing here? We can look at all these physical things and we can just be in awe of them. But how does that compare to his mercy? Which one would you rather have? Mercy is going to be forever. The earth? Heavens? No. But mercy. That's what we want. That's why we believe in him. To him who made great lights. going back to creation. His mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endures forever. And you'll be amazed if you go back and read it, how many times He repeats that. His mercy endures forever. That's what's important. And let's look at some prophets now real quickly. Isaiah 37:16. We've already read some of the things that Isaiah said. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel. Now what this is about, this is again going back to the time of Hezekiah. This is a time where he's praising God for having taken care of them as far as defeating the Assyrians. And so as Isaiah said, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. In other words, God, Hezekiah prayed. You answered his prayer. It proves who's in charge of all the kingdoms. You. Why? Because you made the heavens and earth. It was easy, you see. Isaiah 40:26-28. Lift up your eyes on high. This is such a beautiful message from Isaiah. Isaiah is making a promise here that they will return from Assyrian exile. He's making a promise to them, and he's saying again, look at what God has already done. Let's look all the way back to the beginning, and you can see how easy it'll be to bring you out. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over from my God. They were saying, He's left us. He's not going to take care of us anymore. We've been trying. He said, No, you're forgetting who this is. He's the one who created everything. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. You need to leave it in God's hands, he's saying. God will take care of it. Won't be a problem for him. Please understand that, Israel. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer. Now this is a promise of a future destruction. No, this was not. We'll be getting that in a minute. This is a promise to repay Babylon. I'm sorry. In this particular message from Isaiah, Isaiah is talking about how God will take care of them, not only get them out of captivity, as we've already talked about, but that He will repay Babylon for being so cruel to them. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, and this is all going to be in the future. Remember, this is 740, and that's not going to happen until starting 606 or 605, somewhere in there. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and He who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself. In other words, I didn't need your help in that. You think I'm really going to need your help in taking care of a little country like Babylon? Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Again, a promise to repay Babylon. And Jeremiah 51:15. This one is a promise that He will take care of them. This is the promise He'll destroy Babylon. He has made the earth by His power. He has established the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heaven by His understanding. This is a future promise of the destruction of Jerusalem one more time, which would again happen in about AD 70. The burden of the Lord against Israel, thus saith the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. I was just thinking back there, without God, we wouldn't have life itself. Let's go to Christ. Matthew 19:4, and also in Mark 10:6, talking about the husband-wife relationship, talking about how He had done this. He said, have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And Mark 10:6, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And in 13:19, he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that's coming in AD 70. For in those days there will be tribulation, such has not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time, nor ever shall be. He said, it's going to be the worst that's ever been. There will be no comparison because certainly God was wiping out the old law completely at that point. Then the apostles in John 1, 1 through 3, and then also in verse 10. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. So we're starting to understand a little bit more about creation, that it was indeed through Christ, the one who became the Messiah. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. In Acts 4:24, after they had been persecuted, the apostles came out and they prayed to God, and they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, You are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. These folks believed it even unto death. They died as a result of their belief in God and His creation. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, Paul would say, yet for us there is one God, and talking about people who the things that were offered to idols and so forth, yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all are made, and through whom we live. And in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, again talking about Jesus Christ, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He's before all things, and in Him all things consist. And in Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Again, re-emphasizing Christ's part in this. And again in Hebrews 3, 4, again emphasizing both the Father and the Son's part. For every house is built by someone, but He who built all things is God. And then Hebrews 11, verse 3. This is the one I want to dwell on for just a moment. If you look at verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you think about our belief versus a belief of someone who believes that everything came from nothing, for just a moment, think about this. The evidence of things not seen. They were not there at the beginning. I was not there at the beginning. So we're on equal footing. They have a faith that it just came about through billions and trillions and zillions of years, and we have a belief that God was able to do this within 6 days. When we look at all of these things, we both do it by faith. But this one puts it in perspective in verse 3. By faith we understand, our faith, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. He said there was nothing there. There was nothing physical in existence. Nothing. And then God took things and made them into things that are visible. That's hard for us to understand, but it's a lot easier for me to understand than to believe that it just came out of its own. 2 Peter 3, 5, and talking about the destruction of the earth one more time, he's been talking about the flood. For this they willingly forbid, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. He said, people are foolish. If they don't think God can destroy, they forgot that He created. Revelation 10, 5 and 6. I only have a couple more scriptures. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by Him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. John said, God's the one did this. And the angel's declaring it. And the angel was telling them about some things. In Revelation 4, verse 11, the 24 elders, heavenly beings, said, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. And then an angel in Revelation 14, 6 and 7, showing that God has the right to judge because He was the Creator. Then I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. This is amazing. You have approximately 40 writers. And out of those, we have many of them writing about creation. And I did not even come close to all of the passages that talk about this and how it's discussed and how it's proven that it's exactly accurate. But they declaim, every one of them, divine inspiration. They didn't just say, well, we've tested these things and we're just kind of writing some things that we think about. No, they said that God had given them this to write in some form or fashion. It requires faith to believe in God, and it requires faith to believe in evolution. I keep asking this question to people. So which one requires a greater faith? It's easy for me. It's much easier for me to believe in a divine being, because we do know that it took intelligence, because all things are orderly. And there, you know, many of them will admit it, but they just don't want to believe in a God. So we need to put Christ first by believing in Him, repenting, confessing Him as a Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sins. Christian, we haven't lived as we should, we've got to repent of that sin, confess that sin, and pray to God or have prayer for it. If you have any needs, I'm hoping that today that we've seriously thought again about God, how powerful He is, how wise He is, that He's always existed, and that we owe Him our very being, and that He doesn't require very much of us to have His mercy and have everlasting life, because His mercy will endure forever. We're going to stand and sing a song. Don't be almost persuaded. But today, become a Christian. Would you please stand?